Not only is that still David Jennings' favorite song, it's an appropriate song right now for anybody who is an investor. By gosh, I don't know how many records this market has been hitting. It's dozens and dozens, and here we go again. Let's talk with Joe Lopresti, Senior Portfolio Manager. He's also president at Arlington Capital Management, where he and his team practice, it's called PAS, Proactive Asset Allocation Strategy. They've got offices in Chicagoland, obviously in Arlington Heights, but around the country as well. You have a question about investing, you can call us, text us at 312-981-7200. And Joe, yes, as noted, more records for the stock market this week. Also, a lot of good news out there. Retail numbers look good. That's always an important indicator for the fourth quarter. Consumers' confidence is strong. No wonder you're smiling.
Yeah, and it was a relatively quiet week, actually.
It started off slow. It was sort of treading water for a couple of days, and then it went up again, but not by
a lot.
Hundreds and hundreds of points.
Which is fine, because it's off of several weeks of really a lot of volatility. You had, of course, those weeks in September and early October where the market was dropping pretty quick. Then it turned around on a dime and has been rising for the last three or four weeks straight. I would expect it to calm down just a little bit here, which, I think is expected.
You've got, you showed me the paper because I was asking you about this. It stuck in my mind. You mentioned this some weeks ago that you're expecting a return from the low of this correction that is over of 32% within 12 months of that bottoming out. And I'm still astounded by that, because that's that is an incredible figure for anybody who invests in the market. Imagine when you have indexes returning, 8, 9, 10%. I mean, here we're talking 32%.
Well, that I wouldn't say that's what we expect. That's what the average rebound is coming off of the midterm election year low. So we hit the low in October, early October, mid-October. I think it was around the 10th. And it's already up 11 or 12%. So a third of that 32% rebound has already happened in a month. So from here, if that average holds out over the next 11 months, we'd get about another 20% gain in the S&P 500.
And for anybody who's not a sophisticated, savvy market watcher, that doesn't mean a straight line up. It always will be ups and downs. And that's what gives people heart flutters when they're trying to think about how to beat the market. You can never really do that effectively over a long period of time. But that's just what you got to live with when you're an investor.
You have to take the short term out of it. You have to take the minor dips and bumps out of it. Focus on the important trend. The important trend is up. The other thing I'll point out, Bill, since we're talking about elections and cycles and things like that, is when you look at the presidential election cycle, you have 4 years, obviously, in a presidential cycle. If you break it down to quarters, you have 16 quarters. We are right now in the three best quarters historically. So I'll show you another chart. Obviously, the listeners can't see this.
Yes, they can, because we're on TV now. Okay. I mean, you got to watch it on your but let me hold it.
Okay.
I don't know if they can actually see that. But if you're watching from your home on your computer, this chart indicates what?
So what you're looking at there is the quarters, the average returns during all presidential quarters, the 16 quarters.
Dan Long, they're not seeing this. It's too small, right?
The quarter we're in right now is the best, followed by the next quarter.
And that's where you have in the box.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're in the three best quarters, the nine-month period where presidential cycle, we get the best returns in stocks.
And the best is right now of those three.
We're right in it. Yeah, we're right in it. So we're in. Now, you're not going to get the same opportunity for another 4 years. So I think this is really important to point out to investors that you have a great opportunity to grow your portfolios in the coming quarters, coming months, as we move into the end of 2014, the first half of 2015, should be a very strong opportunity for proactive investors.
And that model that starts with the word proactive, proactive asset allocation strategy, that's just not hunches. That's based on, I guess you could call it scientific data, because it's simply looking at past behavior. Past patterns.
Absolutely. It's looking at the market. It's taking information from the market and data from the market to tell us what is likely going to happen moving forward. And one of the things that we just received from our proactive model is what we call a confirmed up signal. And what that means is that correction that we had is in the past, and we've now begun another leg of the bull cycle that started out a few years ago. And, you know, this is the opportunity the next 6, 9, 12 months to probably take a nice step up in your portfolio value and to build your wealth.
In other words, he says, if you've got a large cash position, that is, if all of your holdings have been liquidated and are sitting in cash, convert that into stock right now.
Yeah, our models are 100% invested.
Now, that's interesting. How often does that happen?
It happens quite a bit, but
100%.
Yeah. I mean, we want we want to be mostly invested. There are times when, as earlier in the year, when the risk was a little high, the short-term risk, we talked about that, where we held a lot of cash and waited for a correction. But once that correction hit, we began to put money in October, early October. Then we put the rest of the money in when we got the confirmed up signal, which was October 31st.
How old is the model?
20 years.
Okay, so this is the 12th up signal that you've gotten in that 20-year window.
This is the 12th confirmed up signal.
Each one, all 11, you said, were proven to be true. That when it indicated buy, you bought, and it was the right decision.
It was the right decision. Now, if you're in the end of a bull cycle, it could run into some headwinds, right? So, like, let's say in 07, when we got a confirmed up signal, the market might have gone up for a few months and then started to go down again. If that happens, we have a global sell signal, a sell discipline to get our clients out of the market if the cycle is changing from a bull cycle to a bear cycle. But that's a very low probability. When we look at the previous 11 confirmed up signals, the average gain in 3 months in our model is 8%. In 6 months, it's 13%. And in 12 months, it's 19%.
Huh.
That's the previous 11 confirmed up signals.
That's really impressive.
And we just got the 12th one 2 weeks ago.
So right now, all signs are green.
Right now, all signs are green. It's almost scary how positive when you look at cycles, when you look at our... The most important thing is what our model is telling us, and it's positive. But when you look at these election term cycles, you talk about the best six-month season starting in November through April 30th. Stocks perform much better during that time than they do the opposite six-month season starting in May. There's a lot of things that have us very positive on the market and opportunities to grow our client wealth.
You've got REITs, you've got ETFs. There's so many things to invest in that are not a pure buy of a share of stock in a company.
Mm-hmm.
How do you help people understand the differences and when those different types of products are appropriate to buy?
Well, ETFs are funds.
Now, those are exchange-traded funds.
Exchange-traded funds, correct. And they are more diversified. So, for example, I'll throw out an example. If we want to get exposure to a sector, let's say the transportation sector, we could buy an ETF that will give us broad exposure to the transportation sector that would own airlines, railroads, trucking companies.
That means the eggs in that basket have already been purchased, and
yes,
you're buying them collectively in a single lump sum product.
Correct. So that would be kind of a first step into getting exposure to a sector. The next step would be to identify the leading stocks in that sector. So one of our stock positions, for example, is Southwest Airlines. They're a leading stock within the transportation sector.
Good numbers, good outlook.
Great numbers, great outlook.
I'm flying them to see my mom for $116 to Sacramento, California.
Isn't that unbelievable?
Actually, it's SFO I'm flying into. But yeah, can you believe that? No, but that's one way. So it's 232 round trip to San Francisco. God.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I tried all the other carriers where I have frequent flyery stuff. Nothing can beat them.
Is that right?
In this count. I mean, not every flight's going to be that way. But well-run airline. And obviously, that was one that was hedging a few years ago on fuel purchases. And right now, with oil and gas and jet fuel prices dropping so low, that's pure profit for carriers because that's a huge single-item cost.
And that's probably factored into why this is such a strong sector is that energy costs are down. It's a big cost for energy stocks, energy companies. And we're seeing that show up in our data. That's a good example, Bill, of how we don't look at all these different factors, like low energy prices are not a criteria that we would look at to invest. But the market discounts all that. So we just look at the market. The market tells us where the strong groups are. And if it's a factor like low energy prices is influencing transportation stocks, retail stocks are going to benefit from low gasoline prices. More money in consumers' pockets. And that's why confidence, I think, is so strong. Consumer confidence this week at a high since 2007.
All right, I want to talk to you more about your PAS model, P-A-A-S, and other such things coming up next on the Bill Mahler Show with Arlington Capital Management's Joe Lopresti. What about this question we got texted to us? We've been talking about stocks. This position is a question about positioning your bond clients for the incoming increase in interest rates and decrease in bond prices.
Mm-hmm. Well, that question is making a big assumption that interest rates are going to go up. And, you know, so far people have expected that for a couple of years and they haven't. QE is over, quantitative easing, the Fed's done buying bonds, and interest rates still haven't gone up.
You think it was
up.
Already then built in the anticipation of this moment?
To a certain degree, yes. And the fact that rates globally, when you look at Germany, Japan, you know, other of the big developed countries where our bond market would compete against theirs, their rates are lower than ours. So I'm not expecting a big increase in interest rates. However, if you are, there are a number of ways that you could invest. You'd want to be out of your traditional bond type of investments that are interest rate sensitive. You could look at real estate investment trusts. That's a big position in our proactive income strategy.
Called REITs?
Called REITs. Mortgage REITs, healthcare REITs. These look very strong. We own several of those types of positions that are paying very high yields out. They're not going to be as affected by interest rates because their rates, you know, their yields can go up as the, you know, the occupancy and so forth increases with their properties.
Now you talk about, well, go ahead, finish your thought.
Yeah. And there's a number of other things you could look at. Things like master limited partnerships that pay out high yields through oil and gas pipelines and high dividend paying stocks also would be a good alternative.
Joe, you said that you don't expect interest rates to rise. Is that your own thinking or is that what your PAS model is telling you?
Yeah, our PAS model isn't an interest rate, isn't going to give you an interest rate forecast. It's my own thinking. And when you just look at the fact that Germany's yields are 1% and ours are 2.3, why would our yields go up?
All right, Joe, you've been on the Bill Mahler Show for 7 or so months now. You have foretold a number of events this past summer, for example. You were saying it was time to sell, a correction was coming. You explained why it was coming. Your model was telling you it was coming. When the correction happened, the market drop, that is, you said it was time to buy. Again, that's that model talking. And so if somebody wants to look into becoming a client of Arlington Capital Management, they do what?
Well, certainly they could call our office. 847-670-4030 is the phone number. I would typically suggest that first they go online to our website at arlington-capital.com to read a little bit about what type of experience they could expect if they do decide to work with us. From our website, you could request a consultation, and what would happen is one of our advisors would give you a call within a couple of days, have a brief conversation to establish some common ground, and from there, if it made sense to each of you, you know, the advisor and you, then we would schedule a time for you to sit down face-to-face and explore the possibility of working, becoming one of our private client group members.
It is a relationship, isn't it?
Absolutely.
You've got to have confidence and trust in the person who's managing your money. That is like one of the most important things in your life is handing over your retirement, your kids' inheritance to somebody to deal with. And you've got to have complete trust in that person.
It's not an easy decision. And not everybody could do that. Not everybody can, you know, trust somebody to manage their money. We don't work with thousands and thousands of families. We have a couple of hundred relationships, you know, families that we're managing money for. It's about $130 million that we're managing right now, and it's growing. We're up about 30% this year in our assets under management. Certainly if you're not happy with the strategy that you're using today, if you don't feel that the strategy could handle the inevitable changes that we're going to see globally, our proactive model is designed to do just that. So I would encourage you to explore the possibility of using a proactive strategy for yourself.
Okay. Let's see if we can get Kirk in here. He has a quick question. So can you see that? Dan, move the cursor there so we can see that figure. So he's asked, you know, will you work with clients with $250,000?
We do have a $500,000 and above minimum. We do have a program for investors that are 250 to 500, but not below 250,000. But Kirk, I would suggest that you go to the Investor Education Institute website if you have less than $250,000. That's instituteforinvestors.com. There we offer educational services of how to be proactive on your own so you could manage your portfolio proactively.
Kind of scary. It's hard to sleep well sometimes when the market's diving and you made the wrong call if you're doing it on your own, which is the whole purpose of going to the professionals. But at least it's an option.
It's an option. And, you know, you have the benefit of the indicators that we use to help back up your decisions and help you act with confidence.
Joe Lopresti, the head guy at Arlington Capital Management, what is the phone number again?
847-670-4030.
And arlington-capital.com.
.com.
Joe Lopresti, thank you.
Thanks, Bill.